Blog Talk Radio.
What the?
many want to be taken to the King this morning? God bless you. I'm so glad you decided to tune in to follow me as I follow Christ Outreach Ministries, Global Prayer Warriors, commanding your morning. That's what we're doing this morning. We're commanding your morning with you and on behalf of you. I am your servant host leader this morning, Apostle Dr. Rosalyn Overton, and I'm telling you right now that you need to call a friend, call a neighbor, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, because we are on fire this morning getting ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday. I know it is Christmas Eve, and we have our last guest who will be joining us on this morning for the year, and I'll tell you who it is in just a moment, but let me just briefly go through some announcements, one of those being that we will be still praying through the holiday week. Yes, we will still be praying on Tuesday night at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m. So, yes, continue to send your prayer requests to us. You can send them to fmfcchicago@outlook.com, or you can submit them through the FMFC Global Prayer Warriors Facebook page. So please let everybody know we never stop praying. I've always taught everyone that when the holidays come, that's when we heighten our bloodstained banner. We do not come off the wall, but we heighten our dimensions and breath and width of prayer. So we want to make sure people are covered. We want to make sure people are safe. And so we will be right back on Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Also, if you have not invited someone to follow us on Twitter, we're at Moving in Destiny on Twitter. But I just want you all to know that service tomorrow will be changed from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come and celebrate Jesus with us tomorrow at 1 p.m., 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, yes. And if you need more information, the number is 312-798-9460. So I'm just so excited. Once again, I'm telling you, we have a beautiful, beautiful guest on today. He's been a friend for many years now, and his name, everybody, is Apostle Robbie Peters, man of God. Are you with us?
Good morning. How are you doing, Apostle? To God be glory.
Good morning. Good morning. I need some more. I need some more volume on his microphone. But yes, I am well. How are you?
I am doing outstanding this morning. It's an honor to be with you and the people of God on this morning, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you all today. It's a blessing, Roz. Amen. And I thank you for your labor of love, your friendship and covenant partnership down through the years. You're just an amazing, amazing human being and a wonderful woman of God, and I thank you so very much.
Oh, no, the honor is all ours, and we are just grateful that you took some time out here on Christmas Eve. We know it's the holiday season, but we want to bless God. It is his birthday, right? We want to bless Jesus, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we're going to bless him with you this morning. I want you to tell us, tell Radio Land, how long have you been in ministry? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, there was a call on my life in 1986. I was part of a community choir. I was directing choirs. I was traveling across the country with a community choir. A lot of my high school friends, they were dying. They were just dying off. It was gun violence. It was gang violence. At that time, it wasn't so much gun violence. It was actually gang violence, drugs of that magnitude.
Yeah.
a lot of people around me were dying. My custodial father, he even left this earth. And I said, Lord, if you let some people live, it was a certain family member. I said, if you let them live, I'll preach your gospel. I ran for about a year from that call. And I've been preaching now 29 years. I have been a consecrated bishop going into my, I want to say my 14th year, and I've been an affirmed apostle going into my year. May the 10th actually will be 13 years. So I this ain't my first rodeo. I'm still a babe in this. I'm still learning every day. I've been out here on the battlefield. Yes, I've just been out here on the battlefield.
Amen. Tell everybody where Kingdom Empowerment is located.
Well, Kingdom Empowerment is the name of our fellowship. That's the name of our fellowship. The actual name of our church is the Empowerment Word and Truth Church. That's at 1133 East 82nd Street in the Avalon community of Chicago, Illinois. And we've been there about 2 years now, since 14 actually. April will make 3 years if the Lord say the same. And it's been a journey. We are advancing and occupying the kingdom, and the Lord has allowed some people from the community now to join our church, and the Lord is really doing some great things.
Amen. I believe it. I believe it because you are connected and tied to some other leaderships and organizations, and I'm just so proud of the man of God that you have turned out to be. Your preaching is anointed, your prayer and your prophecies are anointed, and I know it's true. You know, many of us, we do go through ministry, and we have all of these trials and tribulations, and I've seen a lot of leadership just over just even this year alone, just walk away just because they're tired and fatigued. How have you been able to triumph over maybe the church burnout, as they call it, or the exhaustion of ministry? How have you kept yourself encouraged?
Well, I want to say that it is very real, the church burnout, the church hurt. A lot of our pastors, male and female, that are walking away is mainly because they don't feel appreciated. They don't feel respected. They don't feel loved. And it's a sad thing because the one who you once revered, now that one has no reverence in the house of God. I can identify. I've seen it. I am, you know, my greatest passion is my greatest weakness, and that's my heart. As you know, Apostle Robinson, I've been a traveling evangelist for years. So, you know, if anybody would be burnt out, it'd be me more so from the road. I look forward to that because it gives me time away to meditate, focus, and hear more even distinctly from God, although I'm still doing my assignment. I think the thing that has helped me is the fact that I'm not called to the people. I'm called by God. And I have to realize that these are not my people. They're God's people. And the moment we confuse that is the moment we're setting ourselves up for the breakdown, the hurt, and all of that. I have a quote, and I want to say this to anybody that's listening to me. Whatever you do not know, the people will teach you. Let me say that again. Whatever you don't know, the people will teach you. So if you go into this thinking that everybody's going to love you, everybody's going to celebrate you, that they're going to reverence you, that you're their leader, they're going to teach you that you're not. Because when you are on the high mountain, they're going to reverence you. It's like the scripture. So one day they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. The next day they said, Crucify. And you have a lot of people.
Come on.
You have a lot of people that will sit up and they'll love you. You make one mistake, and all of a sudden they won't speak to you. They have no reverence for you. They don't care nothing about you. But they're forgetting you're the one that watch over their soul. So at the end of the day, a lot of our leaders, they are hurting because of the lack of appreciation, the lack of reverence. And you hear me, and that's not just spiritual, that's natural, because we don't know how to intermingle or intertwine, knowing to leave the pulpit. When I went through my mini depression years ago, it went from that because I wanted the people in the church to love me. I wanted the people in the house to love me. And I realized I couldn't be all things to all people. So we have to get to a place, whereas us as leaders, I want you to have the passion. I want you to have the mind of Christ. I agree with all of that. But at the end of the day, if you're looking for people to esteem you, if you're looking for them to reverence you, and they should love you. But if you're expecting them, if you're really expecting them to reverence you the way you think you need to be reverenced, I'm telling you right now, you might as well get out of it, because they're not. They're really not.
You know what? I hear you loud and clear. And the point you made about the minute that you make a mistake, or it's just really just normal. It's just life, as long as you are human. But in people's eyesight, I think what happens, Apostle, is that they idolize after a while. You're no longer just pastor or overseer or apostle. There's a small God that they've built out of you. It becomes idealistic to them. And so this is why, in their eyesight, if we've made a mistake or if we've fallen or if we've made a sharp left instead of a soft right, then I believe they set us up, like you say, for the failure of all of that, because they have placed us on this plateau or this mountaintop in which they never should have placed us. But like you said, honor and respect the Lordship within me, because again, gifts and callings are without repentance, right? So even when we make our mistakes, we still can preach or we still can lay hands. And I think people do lose sight of that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because the following shouldn't be after the person, but the following should be after the anointing. And that's where a prayer or a push would come from with the people, the congregants. If we were connected by the Spirit, then you're going to be able to see some things, hear some things, and then pray me or pray us through some things. So I'm glad you brought that up. And we have quite a few callers on the line this morning, and I am going to take a few calls this morning for Apostle Peters this morning. He is available to you. I didn't want to just haul them all up to myself.
It's well.
But I want him to bless you all this morning. You can have a prayer request. What would you like this morning, Apostle Peters? How far are you willing to go? What would you like?
I'm willing to do whatever you need me to do. I have all the time that you want me to flow with you and to be part of this. I committed to doing this because, number one, I love you. I have no qualm. And when it comes to blessing the people of God, this is my heart. This is my passion. This is what I love to do. I believe God chose me for the assignments that I have now because I fearfully obey God. I boldly believe God. And because of these things, I learned the life lessons. And one thing that you said earlier, and I'm going to go right back to it, is that a lot of us, when you say we idolize our leaders, one thing I've learned is that I go across the country. I'm in a different city almost every week, if not every 10 days. I'm in a new city. I'm doing revival. I'm doing a leadership conference. You know, as you know, I work for John Maxwell. I'm part of the John Maxwell team. I'm the CEO of Kingdom Leadership Coaching. All of those things, hear me, I'm always in light. And I mean no disrespect. It's not a place of arrogance, but I'm always in light. A lot of people around me, they want my platform, amen, although that they don't want me. They want the anointing that I have. They don't want me. But this is what I found out. No matter how great I am to the world, there's a certain group of people around me to remind me of how low I am And I know that sounds kind of bold and kind of cold to say, but there's some people around me that keeps me so humble to remind me of all of my negatives. See, I don't have to boast my negatives because I have people that do that for me. So I realize that, and as a leader, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So I learn not all of the positive things I hear. I go off of the negative things. So the negative things I hear infuse my motivation to make me want to be a better person. Some people are keeping me on my knees. Can we still cry out to God? Because the moment I get so high, I stop breathing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So I had to realize that God never disappoints us, because I realized something, and here's a quote I want to give you. Disappointment comes when reality falls short of our expectations. That's why the church is hurting.
That's true.
Disappointment comes when reality falls short of our expectations. But nothing falls short of God's expectations, because he knows everything. So I totally agree with you. I totally stand with you in agreement, because our churches, the preachers are no longer the men or women of God. They're now personalities. I am a life coach by trade, but I don't get up and I'm giving life lessons every Sunday. I didn't need the stigma of John Maxwell to give me a life coach title. I've been doing that for 29 years. So I realize that. But hear me, I don't change my message. I change the method in how I do it, but I never change my message. And how your ministry is set up is how you're going to be. So we got to make sure that we understand God will nourish us when we have nothing, and God will connect with us when we feel that we are alone. So people of God, y'all have any questions? I am an uncensored, uncut kind of guy. All I ask is if you come to the line and you got a question, I just want you to be ready to get a reality of an answer, because I realize that we want God to do everything spectacular, but sometimes he'll rather whisper to us. We want God to do the spectacular every time, but sometimes he would rather whisper to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to take some questions, prayer requests, or whatever you may have. I want you all to get ready for that. As for right now, we're just going to open up with our comprehensive prayer for this morning, take a small break, and we will go right into it. The next voice after that you will hear will be of Apostle Peter's, answering your prayer requests, or giving unto you that the Lord has for you to have for this day, what type of command God will have for you this morning. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and, first of all, praise you, Lord God, entering into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We're thankful unto you, Lord God, for this day, Christmas Eve, your son's Eve before his born day. And Lord God, we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might be saved, Lord God, that we might be able to dwell with you one day. Lord God, as we get ready to go forth and go deeper even more today, as we get ready to command this day, this weekend, this week, we bind up all of Satan's evil, wicked, demon, lying, unclean, perverse, tormenting spirits and strong men, even his messengers, the hierarchy on today, Lord God. Blind the ears and eyes of the enemy to our conversations and prayers. Confuse them by our praise, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we command them not to manifest in our presence or the presence of our family members and loved ones on today. And Lord God, we just dispatch angels of protection to be all around us, all of our loved ones, as people are traveling and people are moving about and scurrying, getting ready for the height of the weekend, Lord God, your son's day. We speak that you will loose your angels in great abundance, oh God, in our presence and the presence of everyone that we pray for. Keep them around our homes, our cars, Lord God, our workplaces and ministries in the name of Jesus, even our health and everything that you have within our bellies, oh God, that we need to speak for. These and all things we ask in your son, Jesus Christ's mighty name. Father God, we just thank you, and we decree these blessings to be so. Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I hear the chains falling too. I hope you all are on fire and excited and have invited someone to Blog Talk this morning. We are live with Apostle Robbie Peters. If you have not called someone and invited someone to tune in, it's not too late. You have about 30 minutes to do so. But in the meanwhile, we are now taking questions or comments for the apostle. Good morning, caller. Your mic is open. What is your question or prayer request? Yes, God bless you. Go ahead. All right, we're going to move on.
Amen.
God bless you. Good morning. What is your question or comment for the apostle? Okay, now I know, here we go. Your mic is open. What is your question or comment for the apostle this morning? Is your mic open? Okay. Here we go. Good morning. God bless you. Your mic is open. What is your question or prayer request for the apostle this morning? Apostle, now I know the enemy is angry.
Yes.
But I know I think my engineering is on point this morning. Let's see here. Good morning. Here, we'll try this again. Good morning. Your mic is open. What is your question or prayer request? God bless you. Go ahead. Pastor, is this you? Okay. Your mic is open. Amen. Apostle, bear with me here.
No worries. Amen. We have time. Amen. In all things, we give God praise.
I know that's right. Amen to that. And God bless you this morning. You have a question or a prayer request this morning? Your mic is open. God bless you. God bless you. Your mic is open.
Amen.
Okay, so here we are. Here we are. I have apostle, I have a text message here from one of the callers who can't speak but has texted their prayer request, and which is that the Lord will bless and unify their marriage. She's on the verge of a divorce and would like for God to bless their marriage so that the divorce does not go through. I guess she's a young woman with two sons, she says, and she's petitioning your prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now, God, that your will be done. For you have heard thy woman to want to reconcile. We pray now, God, that in her marriage, God, that you will come in and that you will be the cornerstone, that you will be the center, the one that binds the two together. So as you've done so many times in the marriage ceremony, as the priest stands before, which is the cornerstone, and as that man stands to the right-hand side and the woman stands to the left side, we pray now, God, that you will allow your divinity will to come into her life, come into her space for those children. God, we pray that they can come together and that they will stand together and that I am giving what needs to be done and that all things will be well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And you know what? That is just the enemy. You are right, Apostle, and I feel for marriages because that is one of the vantage points that the enemy would like to have, is to remove what should be the head of the household and try and take over the family through that division. Because nowadays, you know, I work with youth. I'm kind of in the educational sector, but I'm in administration, and I watch so many of our young men today not have role models, not have mentors, not have a strong male, a safe male in the household to lead them and guide them. And what could you say even to her to encourage her, to help her with her son?
What I would say is that keep her children before the Lord, and that whatever you're doing for God is important to God. What I would share with the woman of God is, if you give your best in obscurity, God's going to recognize it. And that if you do your best in the small things, God will give you even the bigger things to do. I really believe that it's reconcilable. The two parties just have to agree and come into agreement. Hear me. And not just for the kids. Not just for the kids.
See,
a lot of times people get back together, well, we just going to stay together for the kids. And kids can see. Kids got discerning spirit. So then you end up trying to hold on to something. The kids going to see you better and he's better. And I've been down that road, so I can tell from experience. If you're going to get back together, get back together for love between you, the man, you, the woman, and not so much. You need to get together for each other, not for the sake of the kids, because you're going to do the kids more of a disservice, and then you infiltrate that in your kids, and then your kids going to grow up the same exact way. So you don't want to see that. You don't want to see that. If I can, Apostle Roz, someone just hit me up a few minutes ago. One wanted us to pray for their family, the family, that their life continue to go as God called it to be. But then I just got a question. I read through the question first. It says, what has been the biggest challenge of my ministry? And if I can answer that, the biggest challenge of my ministry was learning how to merge two churches to become one. That was very difficult. It was easy in the blueprint, but the adjustment period was hard. Some people from our church, they were just used to me. And being used to me, they weren't used to hearing another voice, and pretty much probably vice versa. And that's a thing that you work through and you work out and you try to bridge the gap and make it work. The honeymoon is over, you know, after like the first year. And I think the biggest challenge for me as a minister was learning how to come off the road to be in the church, pastoring the same people every week. Not now, but 11, 12. I mean, I've been pastoring, if you add House of Empowerment up with this church, I would probably say 14 years. Yeah, about 14 years of pastoring, combined as a senior pastor. You know that. And I think that was the most difficult thing for me, was probably merging the two churches together, and they remain kind of, and kind of coexisting. And I think with doing that, it still has its challenges, but it's an awesome ministry. We when the church was put together, and I, being the senior leader, I said the most powerful place on the planet. The house of God is the most powerful place on the planet. Amen. And I just believe that. I do. I that's me.
I'm pretty sure you think your
church, you know, your church can be the most powerful place on the planet. Why? Because it's yours. I birthed it, you know. So, you know, I just believe that starting, and for every young pastor out there, we grew up in a place where you had a structured church that was a democracy, and then you had those that went out and started their own work to become their own establishmentarian, which is a lot more hard work because you don't have the bagging like you do if you went into a structured church to oversee it or pastor it. As I would say, don't decide a small beginning and build that base. It's your base. You got to take care of it. You got to feed it. You got to nurture it. Some people will steal the glory. Some people will say they built the church. and not you. Amen. Your name can be on it, you on the marquee and everything else. And I tell folks, just because your name is on the marquee doesn't necessarily mean that you run it. So you got to, you know, you're held accountable if something go wrong, but everybody else takes the credit when everything is good. So we have a lot of I's and teams, not we's. So we have to make sure that we understand that you got to be a team to win the championship, not an I who just wins trophies. So you want to make sure that you're
all
doing
right,
the
you better believe
God. Amen.
Amen. And so you want to address the second portion of that message?
About the prayer?
Yeah.
Yes, the prayer. Let me pray for she's one of my daughters. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now. I come to you on behalf of my daughter. I'm asking you now, God, for her family, that you would bring them closer together. We're praying now as they get ready to enter into marriage, that you would be the cornerstone, that you will get them where they need to be, and that the families will be able to come together. Let them come together before the I do, so they'll know how to stay I do. Let them focus on us, we, and them versus I, me, and my. And I pray that you will get the glory out of their lives and that all things shall be well. In Jesus' name we pray this, so thank God. Amen.
Amen. We bless God for that. Amen, Apostle. We're going to continue to go down here. I see a few more callers that have come in. I'm going to open up your mic and allow you, if you have a question or a comment, you are free to ask the apostle at this time. God bless you. Your mic is open. I think a lot of people, I'm going to be real, real transparent this morning, Apostle. I think a lot of people fear their voices being on radio because they don't want to be identified, and that's okay. Just as the others have texted, you could text your prayer request or your concern to 847-942-9979. We always have rolling messages going in there. I honor and respect that. I don't want anyone to feel like that they are on blast or being embarrassed because maybe they don't want to be identified by voice, and I do understand that. So the next of you who are sending in prayer requests, I'm asking you to do so. This is a male apostle that we have that is asking for strength through a campaign that they are running and would like that the Lord will just continue to lead him and guide him. He feels he is definitely obeying him. And so he would like prayer for the journey because he says that he knows that you say you are a kingdom leadership coach as well. So coach him through, pray him through, whatever God gives to you. God bless you.
Let me say this to you. I need you to study the life of Elisha. Study the life of Elisha. I would say to you, if I had to walk you through this, is that give yourself completely to the task at hand. Here's a quote, two quotes I want to give quickly. What you do doesn't determine whether your work is sacred. How and why you do it does. Let me say it again. What you do doesn't determine whether your work is sacred. How and why you do it does. Number two, I want to say to you, and I pray, and I pray that you hear my heart when I say it, your purpose must be more important than your position. Because God doesn't care nothing about these people's positions. I'm learning this every day. I don't need people to tell me the Pope don't care about my position because God doesn't care about your position. If he did, he never would have put Jesus in the life of human flesh to become an ordinary man. What impresses God is really our faithfulness to the purpose that he gives us. That's what it does.
Yeah.
And he was just as pleased with me when I was plowing before I was even preaching. So when you work with excellence in the right motives, God is pleased. When God does not give you a vision of your own, help other leaders fulfill theirs. I wish somebody would hear what I'm trying to tell them. When God does
you're
not give you a vision
already,
of
right
your own, help other leaders fulfill theirs. And that's the problem. You could have been in the chair, but now you're not in that chair anymore. Quit trying to be in the chair. See, some of our houses, we got two visions going on in the same house, and they're operating at the same time.
Jesus.
God's purpose works only with God's timing. Can somebody please write that down? God's purpose works only with God's timing. And caller, let me say this here. In order to receive God's mantle, number one, you must deserve it. To receive God's mantle, you must deserve it. To receive God's mantle, you must be willing to wait for it. And to receive God's mantle, you must stick with it. I hope you're here. I'm walking you through your journey. To receive God's mantle, you must deserve it. To receive God's mantle, you must be willing to wait for it. To receive God's mantle, you must be willing to stick with it. That's what you got to be willing to
do.
Let me pray with them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that as they go on this mantle, that they will not be weary and well-doing, but they will be willing to go through the necessary steps. They'll be willing to desire it. But watch this. They are willing to wait for it. God, if you allowed Elisha to wait, serve, and learn before he led, I'm praying now, God, you will allow this person to still wait. Just before Elijah's mantle, Elisha's still waiting. So, God, let the person understand that their purpose only works with God's timing. And I promise you that they'll get even to a greater place, a greater dimension. In Jesus' name, amen.
My God. You know, I thank you for those words. I was really listening to what you're saying. And a lot of times we are offbeat. We're not synchronized and syncopated to the timing of God. How would you, as this spiritual life coach, encourage someone to hold on and to listen? Because a lot of times, yes, you might get a word to, you know, go preach before the nations or go on a mission trip and feed the hungry, whatever mandate God gives you. But what happens is, they might go ahead of the time because they didn't get the time from God. How would you encourage them, number one, to wait to hear his voice for instruction, and then number two, to recognize the timing of God's heartbeat?
Well, what I did is that in the season I knew what I knew. I said this way, I admitted to what I know, and I admitted what I didn't know. And my season came because I was escorted in the doors. The Bible says your gift makes room for you. I don't try to go unlock doors that I know that I lock. The Bible says I give you the keys. All right? It says I give you the keys. And keys unlock doors. See, people think that they can open a door for you. You need the key because the key gives you the access. And I'm telling you what I've learned and what I've learned, and I'm a witness to it. There have been people that have escorted me to where I am. I never would have gotten to the place of the John Maxwell team if a door was not open for me. Someone gave me a key. They gave me a key.
And when
they contacted me, it changed my very life. A lot of the platforms I've been on, I've been to the White House. I preached in some of the biggest platforms with some of the major preachers on TBN to Daystar. I preached on a lot of network impact. All of these were things that access was given to me, being in the right place at the right time, the proper position where God wanted me to be. And some people, I'm telling you, some people may think that they give you the door. They may think they give you the access.
Yes.
But it was God that did that. And some people, see, if somebody opens a door for me, I want to make sure that they're not so quick to say to me, well, I'm the one that opened that door for you. I'm now at a season where someone gave to me, I'm able to open doors for other people. Being a presiding prelate over the organization that I have, people people flow with me. And when they flow with me, there are people that's able to go with me, in places. Now, I have a lot of engagements that come in. I'm able to send my sons and send my daughters places. There's a lot of places I'm supposed to be, but the preachers trust me. They trust me enough that I say if I can send somebody, they'll say, yeah, you can send somebody. And I was able to open some doors within the last month for a couple of preachers, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be to be a nugget for every person and to love everybody. God breaks us in the right places. And see, this is what I learned. Yes. I become my own only when I give myself to another. I become my own only when I give myself to another. So you gotta be at a place, radio listeners, that we don't need to be fixed to come to God. We need to be broken. And if you can't break yourself, there's people that's gonna break you, so you'll learn how to get to God. So trust me, people are assigned to do it. And in your life, you're gonna have some people that's gonna do it. You're gonna have some people that's gonna send you to some places.
Yeah.
So radio listeners, you gotta make sure you understand when you find yourself on God's terms. You find fulfillment. You'll find it. Lordship all the time precedes godly leadership. Okay? It precedes it. Lordship precedes godly leadership. And so we gotta understand that. We cannot be what God intends for us to be and at the same time hold on to what we think we should be. So, you know. So,
repeat that.
So, I forgot what I just said.
We cannot hold on.
We can't be what God intends for us to be and at the same time hold on to what we think we should be. So you're going to have to get to a place where you understand you got to be what God wants you to be. See, I have enough.
Amen.
And again, I'm going back to what I said earlier. I have people assigned to my life to remind me of my low place. Not in my reverence. And if the woman of God is still on the phone that talked about the marriage, I guarantee you one of their arguments is what the standard argument is in a lot of marriages. You want security. He wants affirmation. You want to be loved. He wants to be revered. It can be a lot of different things. And then but see me, I'm natural. So I like to listen to music to help me understand or to smooth my spirit. Because being in control, watch this here. Being in control limits our leadership.
Yes, it does.
So God takes complete responsibility for the life that is given completely to him. Complete responsibility for the life that is given completely to him. So I just believe that, and I pray I answered that question correctly.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what we want. We want God to use you this morning. And you are giving out some great, great content. And I know everyone's saying, he's talking so fast and time is limited. I'm trying to make it through the prayer request before we kind of go back into some things. Apostle, if you don't mind, we have one of the churches that I cover in Africa. He is requesting prayer for a van. They have a lot of children that are homeless, children that are don't have a place to live and don't have parents, okay. And he's asking that, you know, the Lord bless them with a van down there in Africa. So can you pray for our countries? Yes. Pray that the Lord will bless them. We have so many amenities that we take for granted. Running water, a house to live in, apartment, whatever it is, a condo, Cadillac, somebody might have a Toyota, but they're just praying for, you know, a vehicle to transport these homeless children. Wow.
I want to, okay. and I pray for them now. For every country that's listening on the line today, what I say to them is that God is getting ready to open the doors. January, February is getting ready to be an explosive time for some people. I just believe God's going to blow some things up. He's going to either blow up what's not in his will, or he's going to take you beyond measure to get what it is that you need to receive. I believe God is getting ready to pull out all of the stops to bless his people.
Yes,
God
Lord.
Wants to use, and for the caller, let me encourage your heart, God is about to use unexpected people. He's about to use unexpected people. Matter of fact, let me say this to you, caller. You are already on his list of recipients of the unexpected. Okay? You're already on the list to receive because people don't expect for you to have it. If you read the life of Noah, you read the life of Abraham, God wants to surprise people through you. So as I pray for you, be willing to speak out when God expects it. There are many, it's not always in the safety, but there's always security in God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray now that you will give this ministry the desires of their heart, that God will open up the door, and they are willing to step out when others depend on them. So, God, I pray right now that you teach them to have the courage to break new ground. Grant them wisdom, make them bold. Give them the confidence to come only from you, and give them victory. So I'm believing that it's getting ready to happen for them because nothing is more limiting than self-imposed boundaries. So I'm praying now that you will give them every desire of their heart and that when that vehicle comes, that they will use it for your glory, your will, your tenacity, your power, and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we have, I'm just going to, at this point, I know time is winding up, and I've been trying to pull from the most prevalent, not that any aren't important, but also these these airings, these shows are archived, so things that you missed, you may be able to go back and retrieve. But I do have someone as well on here that wanted you to go back, Apostle, and begin to review those quotes that you were giving about your apostleship, about your journey. They kind of wanted you to revisit that. I think people are really trying to take notes.
Amen. About my journey. I think my journey is one that is very unorthodox. If they're talking about my years or they're just talking about the experience, because I think that's the question, because I don't want to lead and misguide them the wrong way. If they're talking about my years, I'm 29 years deep in it. But if they're talking about my experience, I asked God to choose me for his assignment. I stood boldly in the things of God. Disappointment comes when reality fails short of the expectation. God connects us when we feel alone. When God, no matter what happens in our life, we need to return to God. And we want God to do the spectacular. Sometimes he'd rather whisper to us. And sometimes what we got to understand, to all of you leaders that's on here, God's best leaders are human as well. And they make the greatest impact when they lead. And God's desire for every discouraged leader is to get them back into the place of authority. They are disqualified from ever leading again if they allow themselves to always run away and quit. So you got to make sure that you're willing to stand and do the things that God has called for you to do. Whatever you're doing, it's important to God as well. And if you're willing to do the small things for service and do them with excellence, God will always give you something bigger to do. That's really my journey because I'm a person of consistency. I believe in consistency. Even if I don't agree with something, what you do doesn't determine whether your work is sacred, but how and why you do it is what's sacred. And God's purpose only works in God's time.
Amen. Amen. Well, as you can hear, we are running out of time. We just want to thank God for Apostle. I thank God for you joining us and taking time out once again on your Christmas Eve. I'm asking God to continue to bless you and yours mightily, and that we command this weekend be that of joy, of cheer, of prosperity in Him and moving by His Spirit. I love you so very much and look forward to being able to fellowship with you again. God bless you, man of God.
Bless you so very much. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Enjoy your holiday. Radio Land, we love you and thank you for tuning in this morning. May the grace of God continue to bless, cover you, and keep you in Jesus' name.
Ezra, bless the Lord, the great God, and all the people. Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, amen. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen.